Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. So, welcome to the Cool Shit Podcast, episode 17. And this week is kind of a special. I mean, we had the AI special last time. We have had, you know, the production special. But this is like a we're quite busy special, isn't it, James?
Yeah, and it feels uncomfortably intimate as well with just the two of us.
So we're actually doing this over Zoom. So I don't know how you think that's intimate. But anyway, we'll
It's James, man.
But it's just me and James this week. So myself, Gareth Carter, and James, the chief editor of Cool Shit, a.k.a. The Little Chef. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. How come you give your surname, but you just call me The Little Chief? Why don't you give my surname?
Because you've already got three titles in there. It would be here all day.
Yeah, I'm now thinking that you're using this to essentially hand out business cards. I'm Gareth Carter.
Do you know what? I don't like the name Gareth on its own. Like, I think Gareth Carter sounds like a boss name.
Yeah, it's entirely understandable.
Yeah, exactly. So I might actually just start to get people just generally in life to refer to me every single time they say my name. Go, excuse me. My name's actually Gareth Carter. And they have to do it every time. Could be nice. Like a power move. Just a power move, right?
Yeah. Or you go full on butch and go Gaz.
Well, Gaz, Gary, you know, Gary. Gary's a strong, firm name, right?
Yeah, the Garys are dying out, though.
Well, yeah, it might be time for a Gary revival.
I'm here for it, yeah.
I might start the Gary revival. Okay, so my name is Gary Carter. And I am here with someone else. Right, so how have the stories been this week?
Yeah, not bad. Some of them are kind of a little bit serious, which I'm not very good at. So we've sprinkled a couple of fun ones in there as well. But it seems that over the last couple of weeks, a shit ton of stuff has just been going on in the world. So that makes for quite good material.
All right, good. Should we get going then? What's the first story that you're... bringing to the editorial meeting then?
So there's a music festival that seems to be particularly popular amongst the young folk of today. Have you heard of a place called Glastonbury, Gareth?
Ooh. Now, it does bring back some memories of losing stuff in a field and not remembering my name. Is it a festival of sorts in Worthing Farm, right?
It is, although also, as we've seen just now, you're still not sure what your name is. So I think you lost a piece of your mind in Glastonbury.
Never recovered. Yes, Glastonbury. What about it then?
Yeah, basically Vice, who not for nothing, I think are generally pretty dreadful these days, have released a list of things that they overheard at Glastonbury last week. So I thought I'd read a few out to you and get your thoughts and see if they ring true to your experience of Glastonbury.
Yeah, love it. Let's hear it. Let's go.
Okay. First one. Person one, hey, mate, have you got any pills left? Person two, I've got Imodium. Person one, even better.
I mean... It's a good line if it was real, but I mean, I'm just imagining like roving reporters from Vice just sitting there. I mean, they would have been very lucky to catch that, right?
But this is what I wondered, because I thought of the festivals that I've been to, I've never heard a conversation like this, but I don't know, I've never been to a festival sober. So you're not really thinking about, if you're going to overhear stuff, then perhaps there is all sorts of stuff that you could overhear.
Maybe. So maybe that would be more like, hey, mate, have you got any pills left? I've got some Imodium, even better.
But when you do it like that, when you brought it to life in such a manner, I could actually kind of imagine that happening, screaming from tent to tent. And also, Imodium can be a godsend at a festival. So,
look on, let's hear some more then.
Nice bit of hypocrisy here to start the day. If you want to go out and listen to music, then you can't be doing chop. That'll ruin your night. You need to have a pill. I mean, I'm doing chop now, but that's different.
What is chop? Does anyone know? Can someone inform me what chop is?
I think it's cocaine.
I see. Yeah. Chop. I get it. Right. Okay. I mean, yeah. Okay. Again, those roving reporters really were tapped into everything going on, weren't they? Wow. Well, those Vice guys and girls.
This was actually a girl, by the looks of it. Emma. So there you go.
Well, Emma knows what she's doing. She had her ear to the ground.
Yeah, exactly. This is a good one, actually. This is more interesting because I don't entirely understand where it's coming from, but I like it. It's time for straight people to reclaim the cowboy hat.
See, now, the thing is, this one, but this actually feels like the sort of thing you might overhear because it's not, you know, it's not done and dusted. Like the other ones I've heard so far feel like punchlines, don't they? Well, this feels like the sort of random thing you sometimes overhear and go, wait a sec. What?
Yeah, that's what I was picturing.
Who has reclaimed the cowboy hat? Is it, you know, which communities are now owners of that piece of culture?
Well, by the looks of this, it's the gay community.
Well, of course.
Which is funny, actually, thinking about it. It's the gay community and the people who hate the gay community most. proper cowboys in Texas who are... See like a bar that's got a load of people in cowboy hats. I think, okay, these are my sort of people. And then it turns out to be a gay bar. That'd be fun.
I think cowboy hats have been, you know, they've been part of the gay community for quite a long time. I mean, at least since YMCA, and that's before I was even born. So, you know.
Were the village people gay?
I have no idea if they were or not, but I know they are gay icons.
Yeah, to be clear, I was joking there. I assumed that they were. Do you want another one?
This is
probably my favourite one. Put some fucking sunnies on, lad. Your eyeballs are facing different directions.
Is everything just about drugs at Glastonbury? I mean, there are some other things that go on, right?
Okay, well, here you go. I'll give you another one then. I'm not being a paedophile, I'm just being a nonce from a woman. Which does make you question. I don't want to be that person that talks about the, oh, if it was a bloke saying that. But that is a bit mental, so you kind of need the context for that.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's an interesting one. I've just pulled up the article myself here. I do like this one. This weekend, I'm cosplaying as a hot person.
That's manifesting. That's like something Noel Edmonds would do. I like it.
Have you got any more zingers from there? Any ones that you...
Well, you seem disappointed by all of the drugs. So I'll finish on a nice wholesome one. Points to Apple Watch. Yes, I've completed 5 of my activity goals today.
I saw a tweet of someone complaining during the weekend that people were going for a jog in the morning.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I can see why that would kind of...
That would fuck me off. That would fuck, yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're wandering back to your tent at like 6 in the morning, you know, like pasty-faced, and you passed some joggers. I mean, it's bad enough happening in London. Do you know what I mean? I find that quite offensive. Even though, you know, I'm more likely these days to be the jogger, it's still a bit annoying when you're on the other side of it, right? So Glastonbury... Don't do that. I don't know. Maybe this is the younger generation though, perhaps, you know, getting everything in. Well, like, you know, I'm going to party. I'm going to do my jog still. I'm going to get my, you know, I'm going to get everything on my fitness watch done. Like the achievement factor of going to a festival.
I feel like that might actually kind of ring true. I haven't been to a festival for a few years. And that was back when I wouldn't do like any exercise whatsoever. Whereas now I do most days. And I'm now thinking, oh, I wonder if I would be the person, maybe not going for a jog, but maybe doing a few burpees by the campsite or something.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't look weird at all. I mean, you might, like people might join in. You might be the Joe Wicks of Glastonbury.
Burpee gym. Have you been to Burpee gym's tent? Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay, well, seeing as it's just me and James this week, and we should probably clarify why. We've had a lot on. We've had a lot of pitches going on. If you do want to have our fine eyes look at your briefs, we are available at Zach Towers.
Sorry, what did you just say? I don't want to look at anyone's briefs.
So we are just doing this as a duo today. So I'm gonna take the next story, James. So Alexa will soon be able to speak as your dead relatives. I think some of the stories that we've had on have sort of touched upon this, the sort of the idea that with the amount of AI and the amount of data that we have, and now with just voice recognition, Amazon are going to do a test where you can actually upload someone's voice, and in sort of high quality audio, I would be able to record my voice. And then when I'm gone, my voice will be on Alexa forever. As me, the dead relative, you will be able to have my voice when you're saying like, Alexa, what's the weather like outside? And that like heartwarming moment where your dead relative will be able to say, partly cloudy and 16 degrees. What do you think, James?
Yeah, I feel like we need Chris here to go, oh, I don't know, man, seems a bit much to me. But yeah, I feel like we had something similar to this before. There was something about your kind of a version of you being able to live on in perpetuity in the metaverse, but that was from some kind of some company that had just started and we'd never heard of, whereas this is fucking Amazon, right? So this is, if they're doing it, then this is very likely to actually become a thing. So it's pretty alarming. I'm not sure I need to have my late relative reading out an Audible advert to me.
So senior vice president and head scientist for Alexa at Amazon said this. This required invention where we've had to learn to produce a high quality voice audio happens with less than a minute's worth of recording. So you can basically record your voice for a minute and jobs are good. Don't really even understand how that's going to work.
We've got 17 podcasts by now as well. So they'd have a field day with us.
Well, I just feel like I've got like many layers to me and I'm not going to be able to give you the full Gareth Carter in a minute. Whatever.
Oh, don't worry, Gareth. You don't have that many layers, do you? Fear not.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because I think that we had the AI special the last time we did a recording, and we are looking for further ways to humanise technology. This is just another example of an attempt to humanise technology without it becoming more human, which was my point in the AI one each week, like that we're so far away from creating consciousness, but what we are really, really interested in doing is sort of faking it. And that is where all of these things just a little bit hollow. I don't want a dead relative's voice on my Alexa, do you?
No, although I have just had a thought. It doesn't have to be a relative. So presumably this means anybody who there's a minute of audio recorded of, you could now have as your Alexa, which I think could potentially be quite interesting.
I bet you'd have Michael Jackson or something like that, wouldn't you? Reminding you of the good old days when you were just a boy.
I don't know what you're getting at. I wonder if they could get Hitler on there. And he's not who I would choose, by the way.
I wonder if it would stop you from having people like Hitler on there. Do you know what I mean? Do you reckon there's a certain amount of voices that it would just say, like, computer says no? But probably not, right? Probably not. I mean, someone out there is going to get Prince Andrew, aren't they?
Oh, are they? Actually, that's a question for you. Who would more people choose to have as the voice of their Alexa, Prince Andrew or Hitler?
Unfortunately, it would be Hitler, because I think that Hitler probably still has some popularity in certain circles.
I don't know if it'd be.
I don't think Prince Andrew is popular with anyone. Like anyone, no, even his own reflection is probably not a fan of Prince Andrew.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Who would you have as your like? Okay, so right, I'll put some small ones out there. Like so, and yeah, Schwarzenegger, great. Let's think of people from the past, maybe. Because that's how that article led with its headline. It was about, you know, dead people. I mean, I wouldn't mind like the real deal Elvis as my Alexa. That'd be pretty cool, right?
I'm too young. I can't think of anyone dead.
Okay, cool. I was not alive, James, when Elvis was around. Just so you're clear.
Okay, fair enough. You almost crossed over.
Who else would be a good dead person to have? Heath Ledger as the Joker. would be a great Alexa. Like, Alexa, what's the weather like?
Oh, why so serious?
Would be
that doesn't sound very nice at all.
Well, no, but it would be an interesting one. You know, I'm still waiting for you to give me your dead Alexa voice, and
that's because I've Googled nicest voices of all time, and I'm not loving any of them. I might get Freddie Mercury to do a bit of his kind of stuff. I was going to do an impression of Freddie Mercury at Band Aid, whatever it was, and I thought Live Aid, sorry, and I thought better of it.
That's who the nicest voices were when you Googled nicest voices. You Googled best singing voices, didn't you?
No, I Googled word for word nicest voices of all time. Michael Jackson is in there, but I feel like that's a cop out.
So it's interesting, isn't it? So, you know, the celebrity sort of birthday wishes now. This falls into that sort of bracket for me. You know, right. So now if you're listening and if you don't know this is available, there is a certain amount of celebrities that you use a service for that will record a video for your mate's birthday and like wish them happy birthday and send them video. And there's a surprising amount of people on there. I think you get like, you know, anyone from Frank Lampard to, I don't know, bona fide celebrities.
Yeah, there's a surprising amount of money in it, because at first it looked pretty tragic. It's Cameo, isn't it? And at first it looked pretty tragic because they wouldn't be charging that much. It'd be like you get somebody fairly well known to say happy birthday, buddy, for a few hundred quid, but they're not getting paid that amount. Like if they're particularly well known, they'll be getting paid like a fee up front, and then the £300 is going to Cameo to kind of recoup that fee sort of thing. So it's not like every time, I don't think he's on there, but every time Frank Lampard does one, he gets £100. So it's actually surprisingly lucrative, which is why so many of them are doing it. It must be soul destroying though. You can imagine someone whose career has gone slightly off the boil, crying in their car, then looking up and going, hey, Jimmy, happy birthday.
A friend of mine got General Levy and it was the best one I've ever seen. General Levy gave it his all.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I mean, I'm not going to try and recreate it, but he did, you know, he did his signature sounds. He integrated that into the happy birthday.
I might go for him as my Alexa, thinking about it.
I mean, that would be good. It's wicked. It's wicked outside.
Again, he's not dead. But...
trying to sort of take this into the realm of where we work, you know, with this sort of idea of, again, sort of like accessing celebrity or people that are harder... I guess social media's brought us closer to celebrity, but there is, it seems like an opportunity here, isn't there? Like for, you know, you're Alexa to be anyone now. And if I was a celebrity in the same way that Bob Dylan has sold his back catalogue, in the same way that Paul McCartney has sold his back catalogue.
Justin Timberlake recently.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be looking to monetize my image, my sound, my legacy, essentially, for, you know, for myself while I'm alive and for my future family, right? That's kind of the way it's going. And this is like another thing where I could see that happening, right?
Yeah, it is a bit cringy though, right? It does feel like people would accuse artists in the past of selling out for selling their catalogue of music, but doing like birthday shout outs like you're a shitty wedding DJ, it's not a great look, is it?
Interesting. Can we get on this bandwagon? I mean, we've done like 17 podcasts now. There's going to be an audience, right, for a happy birthday for me and you, right?
Probably. I did have a brief stint as a child actor as well, so I'm sure I've got some fans out there. I gave my bottom in A Midsummer Night's Dream.
As I said, this is why Michael Jackson was a fan. Right, what else have you got, James?
Well, I feel like this one is kind of disproportionately serious now, but there's a brand called Freedom Grams, who are a cannabis company who are basically...
Wait, straight away, what does a cannabis company mean? Like, do they like where are they operating? What, like they're selling cannabis?
Is that a serious question? Of course, yeah. What do you mean? Of course they're selling cannabis in America. So basically, okay, their thing is, so you know how in the last few years recreational use of marijuana has become legal in a lot of places in America. I think it's 19 states now, but there's still a lot of people who were either locked up just before it was legalized and are serving really long sentences, or there are people who were arrested for possession in a state where it's not legal for, like, they had like 0.3 grams and are serving 3 years. So Freedom Grams are basically a not-for-profit cannabis company selling bags of cannabis to raise money to get these people out of jail, essentially, because America have been disproportionately and inconsistently draconian with their war on drugs since like the 1970s, and that's being rolled back a little bit now, particularly as it pertains to weed. But there's still a sort of nasty hangover where people are serving crazy sentences for something that is now legal in most of the country.
I think Bill Clinton put a lot of people away while he was president by doubling down on those drug laws, which comes down at the harder side of society. So generally, you know, people that have had a shit rap anyway end up banged up for not a lot. So I think this is great, just on that proviso at all.
It's funny you bring up Bill Clinton, because I'm gonna butcher this, because you've made me remember something. But part of there's one theory, which is that the CIA. So I'm gonna put on my tinfoil hat here and use your favorite word and be a crackpot. there's a theory that the CIA trafficked cocaine through Nicaragua, through the Contras, and then basically kind of artificially manufactured the LA crack cocaine epidemic in, like, I think it was in the 90s. And even though crack cocaine is basically exactly the same as normal cocaine, I think if you got caught with crack, which was in predominantly poor black neighborhoods, you'd get 30 years. If you got caught with the powder, which was what happened to Bill Clinton's brother, then you get a slap on the wrist, even though it's exactly the same thing. It's just been cooked differently, essentially. So there's a theory that crack cocaine was bought in to make a kind of false discrepancy between sentences for crack and powder cocaine.
You know what, right? So I don't usually buy into conspiracy theories, but just, I mean, I'm kind of done with America. Just looking at America, I'm just like, do you know what? I literally don't understand the country. Like, I've spent a lot of time there. I've lived there. I love the country, but certainly, you know, with what's happened in recent weeks, recent years, I'm like, do you know what? That could be actually true now, because you basically legalized weed and you've made abortion illegal. Like, you're a country of, like, you know, immeasurable craziness, it seems.
Yeah, well, we talk about time travel sometimes on here, and it turns out America have decided to time travel back to the 1950s or whatever. But yeah, I'm kind of the same as you. I've always been a real kind of, I don't know what the word is, America file, Yanker file. But there's certain things that are becoming harder and harder to defend or explain. And as a bit of a contrarian, I often find myself trying to kind of take the opposite view to what most people are saying. But with what's gone on over the last week, obviously with the Roe versus Wade stuff, it's impossible to do that. It's impossible to come up with any reasonable justification whatsoever.
Right. Exactly. Land of the free, my fucking ass. Jesus Christ.
I think that was me trying to launch my political career there.
You did bang the table, which is a key way to know that someone is running for office. When you start banging the table, you either didn't have an affair with that woman, or you're really trying to double down on a point.
I was going to say the mark of a true politician. This won't work because I've just realised this is an audio podcast, but it's the thumb that they move with their fists like that, because you can't.
Well, do you know like thumb. So yeah, exactly. Tony Blair was a big user of the
we
thumb
will
tactic.
Win this war. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
Whereas it's, Hitler, it's... Hitler went for the point. He was okay with the aggression.
Part of his brand. So this company, right? I mean, I love this story. Like, this is the first story from a sort of, like, you know, like, again, just pulling back into the world that we're in. I think that's as a way a brand acts, you can't say it's not living its values, can you? That's really, you know, it knows what it is, and it's doing something that feels positive and feels related to the product, right?
Well, this is what's interesting, because I think we see a lot of brands being accused of kind of performing because they're changing their logo to a rainbow flag or whatever. And that's because they're a brand first, and then they're trying to kind of get involved with all sorts of causes. Whereas this has kind of done it the other way, which I think is probably going to become more and more of a thing of there's like a sort of cause or interest first or a set of values. And then the brand emerges out of that entirely to serve those values. So it's you can't accuse them of any sort of insincerity.
No, exactly. We spoke about DALL-E, which is an AI image generating app. And if you haven't seen it, do check it out because it's amazing. You can put in a couple of sentences or rather keywords and it will create that image. Yeah. So you could put in,
God.
Well, yeah, exactly. You can put in God. But
I saw that the other day. Sorry to interrupt, but someone put in God, and it's quite interesting because it had clearly taken most of its cues from kind of Eastern religion. There was no kind of white man with a long beard. It's just quite interesting to see how something objective interprets kind of the world's interpretation of God. Sorry to interrupt. You just reminded me.
No, that's all right. But like anyone that's listening, like the first time I read about it, it took me about 7 times to read an article and go, "You what?" You say a couple of words and it generates a picture. Now, this is where I found it interesting. It's like, it's not, as I first understood it, a picture, like a graphical picture, or it looks photorealistic. So it scours the internet and it, through AI, it creates an original image, which is part of the keywords that you've put down. So, you know, it's an amazing piece of software, if not a little bit scary. But in recent weeks, it's been all over the place, hasn't it? It's been doing some really, really crazy shit, from creating its own language and now this. So now, after recent change to the AI's model's internal uses policy, OpenAI is allowing researchers to share generated images of photorealistic human faces belonging to non-existent people. So these photos do look real, but also at the same time are slightly odd. What's your take on it?
It's another interesting development. I do want to give ourselves a pat on the back because we were onto DALL-E like 6 weeks ago before the rest of the world caught up. And each week it seems like it's got something new. What I find weird, because the other ones where you're saying like a rabbit riding a lawnmower, they're so obviously kind of absurd, whereas these look entirely real. And what's really disconcerting about them is there's particularly one image where the face has kind of blemishes and imperfections, which is, I think, what makes it look so realistic.
Yeah. And again, like, it's just some strange choices. I mean, I don't know what the person put into to create some of these faces, but I'm looking at a picture here of a female with some form of helmet, but I've never seen that helmet before, but it feels entirely realistic as a helmet for something. It feels like that helmet has a use, but I couldn't tell you what use it's for. And that's the kind of amazing thing about DALL-E. Like, is that an actual helmet that has a use or not? And it's on the face of a lady that feels wholly realistic. Where the you know, as someone that's worked within sort of like shoots and photography and spend a lot of time looking at photos, yeah, like the shadows are falling in the right place, the whole feel of it feels like it's been shot.
Well, what's, I find from the ones that we've seen, what's weird is DALL-E seems to almost create out of slight misunderstanding. So sort of interpreting things in a way that a human brain wouldn't, because we're filling in gaps and making sense of stuff, whereas it's entirely kind of literal. And I don't know what, as you say, I don't know what the person put in to get this helmet, but that's not a helmet that exists in our human world currently, but is also very easy to conceptualize, even if it looks quite sci-fi. So I'm wondering what old DALL-E thinks is going on there.
And then what was the story that ran a few weeks ago? Because if you said like the whole thing is always a moving vehicle of like DALL-E news, but what was this about it creating its own language? Were you on top of that?
Yeah, I don't think we spoke about that on the podcast, but did I include it? I can't remember. Yeah, so basically DALL-E started creating its own language without any external input in order to categorize like images. So it would be utter gibberish, but that gibberish would then denote a certain property like bird, and there'd be a certain selection of gibberish letters that combined would consistently be used to categorize bird or tree or something like that. And so I think there was one of the people working on it said, like, you're more like a biologist. It's like watching a fucking petri dish rather than a computer, because it's constantly evolving and teaching itself, which is, well, considering even to bring it back to where we first saw this like 6 weeks ago or whatever, it was still very kind of vague and sort of nebulous at the time, whereas even now in the space of 6 weeks it's becoming more and more real, and there seems to be something slightly freakier about it every week. So if it's doing that in 6 weeks, then it makes you think, where's this type of technology going to be in a year?
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's one of those stories that we could probably revisit in a while, because fuck knows what DALL-E's going to do next, right?
Yeah, that's a good point, because I feel like at the moment, because it feels like it could go in every week, I feel like there's probably going to be some DALL-E news coming up. Maybe this should be our last one for a while, and we can revisit it in like a couple months or something.
Let's have a DALL-E check-in.
We'll keep abreast of it. We'll keep an eye on it, and we'll come back to it in like a couple months.
What do you think of the stories that we've had this week for the editorial meeting? There's been quite a few good ones in there. What's catching your fancy?
I'm going to start with the ones that I bought. I think the marijuana one is good for all of the reasons that we spoke of. Yeah, in terms of sort of what we do in terms of it being a brand and it being cultural and it having a point, I think that feels entirely kind of appropriate for Cool Shit. And also it's quite nice, and I feel like I've come across pretty badly on some of these podcasts. So now
you're going to be saved by a big bag of skunk.
I'm becoming an activist is what I'm doing. So that's going in.
Yeah.
Speaking of a big bag of skunk, we also had the Glastonbury ones. I don't know, because I like them.
I feel like they might be made up.
Even if they are, they're still incredibly well written. Yeah. So I'm undecided on that, because it's not particularly kind of impressive or anything. Although if it is true, it is impressive being able to hear all of that shit in the weekend. So that's potentially on the chopping block.
So we had the Alexa being able to speak as your relatives. That does annoy me a little bit, and I don't know why. I think it opens it up, like the fact that they've led with relatives is just a bit annoying.
But that's what put me off, because when you actually read the article, it's not really about relatives. And I'm not sure if this is, I don't think it's Amazon leading with relatives. I think it's the various kind of media outlets who have latched onto that and thought that's the best headline. In reality, it's basically just saying anybody that you've got a minute's recording of, you can have their voice as an Alexa. So based off of that, as a kind of, out of a sense of almost, it depends who's pushed the relative narrative, because I don't think it's Amazon. And in which case, if it is just you can have any voice in the world for your Alexa, I actually think that's pretty fucking cool.
So not a fan of the article. I agree with you. It is an interesting development. But speaking of interesting developments, our friend DALL-E is probably the most interesting development of them all, really.
Yeah, he's got to go in. He's an irresistible little devil, isn't he? He always finds a way to finagle his way in. What else can you say about it? Yeah, I almost feel like it's my civic duty to alert the readers of Cool Shit to the presence of DALL-E week in, week out. So on that basis alone, I feel like it should probably go in.
All right. So if people want to find the Cool Shit stories in the Cool Shit blog, newsletter, extravaganza, all of the above, they can go to one place and find that all. Where is that, James?
ZachAgency.com/cool-SHT. That was hard. We've had a week off. I forgot it.
Brilliant. All right. Well, next week we'll be back with like real real in like real guests, right? People, not just us, not just
we're gonna you. Get yeah, no, we're gonna get Dolly to generate us some guests.
All right, well, listen, I'll see you later, and thanks very much, mate.
See you later.